Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to a pre-Halloween edition of the Tuesday Sour Graps NXT post-show review party thing.
I'm Alex, and this is Kate. It's your NXT Sour Graps post-show for Tuesday, October 29th. Holy cow, we are almost through spooky season, almost into my sweet spot of being a white girl, into the holiday season, but so much to talk about. So much that went up on FightfulSelect.com. Corey Brennan is back, baby, with some notes for you. We're going to get into those in a minute, but some fun music scoops that went up earlier. People dissatisfied with Def Rebel since as long as last WrestleMania goes. So lots going on there. Mikey Ruckus re-signing on the AEW side. So much more to come on FightfulSelect.com. And Alex and I were reviewing See No Evil 2 back there earlier today, which might not even be the scariest thing that we saw today, Alex. Even Kane in all of his evil glory, I don't know if that scared me more than seeing Bubba Ray Dudley on this episode, but we're going to get into all of that and more. We invite you to leave a thumbs up on this video if you haven't yet. It really helps people find us in the algorithm. Mm-hmm. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. Alex, we already did Halloween puns at Halloween Havoc, but do we just keep the train rolling?
We got to do one more time before Thursday, you know.
And Alex, are you a clown of some sort for Halloween?
Oh, no, close. I'm HBK's booking.
Oh, the personification of that.
That's what I am. But yeah, but also, yeah, a clown, basically. I mean, basically.
Tracks.
Specifically HBK's booking, but basically a clown.
That doesn't have the same, like, I don't think you're going to get booked for a lot of parties if that's your clown name. You know what I mean? That's
Bozo
the clown.
HBK Booko the clown.
Yeah, that's like a very specific type of party that you'd have to be booked for. I'm, of course, going as the Yankees postseason hopes.
Dead. Just straight up
dead.
Dead in the water.
Showing
even if they
some
win
life
tonight.
Tonight, but
even if they win tonight. I mean, well, some guy hit a
hit a grand slam, baby, and Austin Wells hit a ding.
How many runs does this guy I've never heard of have on the season?
How many what?
Home runs this guy have? It's like, is he a power hitter?
Not like one. He's not Soto or Judge or.
Well, obviously he's not that. But does he have
he's
like 20 or does he have 5?
Somewhere in between, I think.
Okay. So it's a surprise that he hit a grand slam.
He's in the lower part of this order.
He's the one
sure.
guy with some pop on in the. Okay, that's
it. Yeah.
All right.
But great. We'll take it. The cobwebs on my face are symbolic of those that are in Aaron Boone's head for all of his pathetic managing decisions that he's made. So
nice. Nice. Paul Elizabeth says, it's Tuesday, so everything must suck. This week, it's Kate Elizabeth for president, J.W. Pringle for secretary of wrestling.
A prestigious cabinet position.
Yes.
That I considered you heavily for, truly. But I, if anything, believe in nepotism. And so my brother, J.W. Pringle.
That's right. No, I
is involved.
Yeah, that's good. Matthew Hooks says, Kate looks amazing in costume. Julia Hart cosplay.
Oh, no, but it's going to be for tomorrow now. I miss her. I hope she comes back soon.
Yeah. Jambeard says, Alex, great Duke costume tonight. You mean the university or Hudson? I don't understand. Could what
two things can be true.
I don't know. I'm not really sure what this is. But yeah, it's possible. And then Jambeard saying something mean. If the Wankies get swept tonight, all will be well.
Well, no, not all of it will be well.
But if that causes them to fire Aaron Boone,
that will be good.
Yeah,
they don't even have to fire him. They just have to decline his contract. He's in an option year next year.
That's nice. Yeah.
End it.
Mr. J97, Halloween puns.
We'll do Halloween puns.
We're doing Halloween puns, which means candy puns are a really good way to get into Halloween. If you don't want to do something spooky, candy puns, people have been doing like Brinley Reese's is one I'll just throw out there for you from NXT. Brinley Reese's.
It's beautiful.
It's good.
Alley Kit Catch, if you're a GCW fan.
Sure. A lot of things that are out there available. You know what I mean?
I think our friend Tegan Knox puns is going to have a difficult time because there's nothing spring to mind right away about Tegan Knox.
Well, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. They know what they're doing.
They always do.
Um, I was surprised that they did. Apparently, they did what I would have wanted them to do, which was to dispense with a 6-minute recap of the play to start out the night, and they jumped right into Tatum versus Wendy Chu.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Casket match, the first ever women's casket match, which is crazy.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting. It was fine. Wendy Chu rolled a bed out with her to the ring, and that just became like a thing of like, where does the bed come into the play? It's not a she had like a fall asleep match or whatever it was called, her and Tiffany Stratton.
Yes.
Where she put Tiffany through the bed as like the final thing was a falls count anywhere. Honestly, I'm so mad at myself. I believe it was a last woman standing match, and I just realize now that they should have called it for a Wendy Chu last woman standing match. It should have been called first woman sleeping match.
It should have been called a first woman.
It should have been called
match.
That should be her signature match.
That should be her signature.
She should
match.
Be undefeated in first woman sleeping matches.
Yeah. Yep.
But she took the loss. So
I liked a lot of this. I thought it was,
I did too.
It was very plundery and fun. The Lego spot I thought was awesome. That was really, really well done. Those Lego spots always make me like itchy. Yeah. But Wendy Chu,
I still wanted, like, I don't know what Lego has to do with this match or with either of them. If it was like Barbie doll parts, fine. That's Tatum. If it was candy corn or some other kind of weird, you know, Halloween-y thing, skeleton parts or something. But it was like Legos. Okay, cool. I mean, it was fine and it was look good. But I wanted it to be something more, you know,
specific. Yeah.
More
what
specific
did they do
to each person?
They did something for Tiffany that was really specific to her. I wish I could remember what it was.
But like either way, it's better than washers. Which is what we got from Ethan Page on Sunday. So
my God, it's nuts and bolts. So yeah, I think even maybe before digging right into the show tonight, we should recap a little bit of Halloween Havoc. Just to say that it was a 5-match card and was generally pretty underwhelming except for the women's tag match. So when I see an episode tonight like this, I'm like, this was not that much shorter than your PLE. And some of it was arguably better than what was on the PLE. So that's not the statement that you want to be making there. But I really liked the opener. Wendy Chu's kind of in that class right now as, say, I mean, tonight set some stuff up. But like JC Jane and Fallon Henley now has the title. But we were talking about her in this crop of like, I don't know what more you need to see from them as quote unquote developmental for them to move up. Wendy Chu is actually probably at the front of that line because she can be a 5,000-year-old dragon lady. She can be a sleepy silly goose. She can be this character. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure what they need to see from her in NXT to not just call her up to the main roster, because the in-ring has always been there with her. Tatum's really come along. A lot of really good stuff from her in this match. Those extra TNA reps, I think, have been helping out. Like, she's really come into this character quite nicely as well. So I had a lot of fun with this. This was I don't normally love coffin matches, but this one was decent. I understand why this wasn't on the PLE, but this should have been on the PLE. Like, I get that Wendy Chu was working Bound for Glory, but it's like,
well, it was such a short show.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You could have easily put this on there and it would have, like, they never would have been close to their 3-hour allotment.
Not even.
So, like, just why not have it there? It's the spooky match, you know?
Well, Wendy Chu was working Bound for Glory in the next set of TNA tapings. So, the downside of the partnership a little bit. But, like, first woman's coffin match with two people with, like, spooky gimmicks. That is screaming Halloween Havoc. And I had even said, like, it felt like there was not nearly enough Havoc on Halloween Havoc on the holiest of Havoc days, like the highest of them. So that would have gone a long way in being on that show. But I'm glad they did it tonight. I'm glad we got this match. I still can't kind of get past the fact that we've never gotten an explanation about why Wendy Chu is the way that she is.
We're never getting one.
And we're never getting one. I've accepted that we're not gonna.
But, oh, I haven't accepted it, but well, we're never, never getting one. Yet. No,
I yeah, we just never, we never will. We no. never will.
The using Wendy's pillow to block the door from closing was interesting. Also, I've literally never seen somebody do an elbow drop into the coffin and the lid close on both of them.
Yes.
I thought they were just going to go, oh, well, it's a draw. I'm glad they didn't, but it would have absolutely been just like this promotion.
Yeah.
To do a draw in a casket match because the lid closed on both of them.
Both of them, yeah.
But no, they get out of the thing. And then I believe it was a fire extinguisher, which knocked Wendy Chu into her own bed. And the bed broke. And then she was thrown into the casket and she lost. So Wendy Chu came back and started murking people and was really intimidating. And then she brought over Rosemary and they lost all their tag matches on NXT. And then she went to TNA and was doing stuff with Rosemary. And then Rosemary turned on her. And so she lost. She's been attacked there and will have a feud with Rosemary. Then lost this match with Tatum after attacking Tatum again. So, like, they've done a really good job of making her the spooky du jour, which requires you to be, like, really spooky and pretend to be intimidating but lose all of your matches. Like, I really wish that wasn't how they booked spooky, but that's just right. That is directly down the playbook of 2014 through 2017 Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, it really just, is.
You know what I mean? And that's really too bad.
I think there's this kind of belief that they can take the loss without their character getting hurt because they're so insane anyway. But
yeah.
Speaking of the TNA and NXT partnership, we do have some notes that Corey Brennan sent our way. One of them was that the TNA and NXT partnership is believed to be continuing. There's not an indication that it's going to slow down at all. So that'll continue. And we have more cameos next week. Keep an eye out because some of them will be announced and others will be surprises. We got obviously a lot of those announcements today. There's been a lot of talk about Obafemi, Alex, on our timelines and in the wrestling talk zeitgeist, but he has not gotten confirmation that Obafemi is getting called up anytime soon. Obafemi not mentioned on the show tonight, but there's nothing that Corey has heard specifically about Obafemi getting called up. We're going to talk about the 10 women tag match, coming up, but tons of backstage buzz about it. And also Grayson Waller was around and Zarya visited SmackDown in August with him. Grayson Waller, went back to Australia to do some work there when he was off TV a little bit for the big Coliseum show. That's a huge thing for Pro Wrestling Australia, fantastic promotion that, people like Delta, people like Jessica Troy, the Velocities, who are now in the Super Junior Tag League tournament in New Japan, really, really work hard out of. So shout out to PWA Australia there. But that's about all the notes we've got from Corey.
Yeah.
So we can move right along.
Good. Meet Norma says, this is my first Super Chat on my new phone. When you witness a Hail Mary and have gotten into some Wheatleys, property gets lost. So that's what happened to his old phone. Now he says, let's crank. How was NXT? Well, I'm not the person to ask. I did not like
I'll say this. The bad I thought was really bad. The good I thought was pretty great. Like there's the one thing in particular. But for me... I haven't seen stuff so universally disliked NXT-wise in a while as I've seen this ECW show getting built out. A lot of people are like, about it.
I'm looking here, and there was nothing I liked on the show. Even the things that were great. Even the things that were great were terrible. This is it. This is why I hate NXT so much. Because they have greatness in the palm of their hand and piss it away for shenanigans. And that's why I hate NXT so much. I want it to be great. It has the possibility to be great. But this guy right here decides he's got to insert shenanigans where they don't belong. And that's why I don't like it. Because I can't stand shenanigans. You know? That's me. The clown guy, this guy, this person who has decided to look like this in front of people on the internet can't stand shenanigans.
You know what I just realized, which is kind of funny? You are like NXT 2.0 logo colored and I'm like black and gold arrow.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's true. Yeah, that's very good. I like that a lot. Chris Bay got injured.
Yes.
Horribly injured, and so his GoFundMe is going strong, but could always use more donations. Luis is going to post a link to that in the chat. Everybody, please do that. He got injured the TNA tapings. Horribly unfortunate. And so please do put that in the chat there.
Always good when the wrestling community comes together. You saw like huge donations from.
Absolutely.
I ain't a Jericho fan, but that guy dishes out money for stuff like this a lot. Will Ospreay, like a lot of wrestler names and a lot of wrestling fans donating to that guy who got unfortunately injured after a rough spot. So.
Right. Sweet and Sassy Creations says Tatum was amazing. I think she's got a crazy amount of potential. I just know how these kind of gimmicks are handled in this company. And as this gimmick, I don't think she has potential, if that makes sense. Because this gimmick is usually done as fodder for somebody else. They don't take it seriously. They don't make, they can allow you to be fun, but, and play, you can play the gimmick as great as you want, but they'll never actually push you to a point where you should be as the gimmick. So I think she's great. I think Tatum, the wrestler, has all kinds of, and I love the way she's playing the gimmick. And in a different company, she would get over huge with this kind of thing, and they'd let her be, and they'd push her. But with this, she's just always good. I don't know what her ceiling is beyond beats Wendy Chu in a non-title casket match in this company. Now, and I feel bad for her for that reason, but I think she's great.
I think she's very, very much improved. I think she's great too. I'm a little bit more optimistic from the perspective of, like, the Wyatt Six is sadistic and weird, and that's something that, while poorly booked, is heavily profiled. And the thing that makes me more nervous about it is, when it was originally introduced, it was like, we had kind of said, unhinged, Ciampa-level Goldie kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And that had Lyra, and even though that was weird, that was the jumping off point for this, which was like focused on the title.
Yeah.
And I like the doll thing. I think that's really cool. But when they got away from the her sniffing out the title thing, it almost felt like they lost sight of, is she spooky or is she not? Is she unhinged or is there something else going on? Like, I loved how clear her motivation was in that introductory vignette. And now it feels like we've gotten away from that. So that part makes me more nervous, but she's a fantastic, fantastic wrestler. And it's been really fun to get to see her try something this ambitious, kick it in the butt, and improve so much in the ring, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So RVD is around. He's hanging out backstage. He's pointing to himself with both thumbs.
As he is wont to do.
And Ava's there, and he's like, I really want to be a part of this ECW arena, 2300 arena, whatever they're calling it, NXT thing next week. And I was like, I'll think about it. I'll think about where we can put you. And he's like, okay, cool. Also, Wes Lee is in the background dressed as Waldo. I guess that was like an invitation for us to find him in the background of the shot.
That's what I thought that was too. I actually thought that was kind of cute.
So, Trick Williams comes out and he says he walked through hell, and I don't know. There were washers on the ground, man. Like in hell, there's not washers on the ground. There's something that hurts on the ground. Well, but
how do you know?
I don't know. I had to read Dante Inferno by Alighieri. I had to read it in the college. The lots of circles of hell. No, none of them said this is the circle of washers on the ground. in hell, you know, where all the people go who sinned.
Alex,
you know,
what as shape plumbers. Are washers?
Circles, I suppose. Yeah.
Thank you.
So he's like, I came out.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas' boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
Like, this is going to be bloody and whatever.
I know,
I was like, neither
wasn't.
Of them bled at all.
No, it was bad. But he says, then after I won, Ridge Holland attacked me. And imagine, who did I find who came to my aid but Bubba Ray Dudley? And he comes out and he's like, I would like for you to be my tag team partner versus Ethan Page and Ridge Holland. And Bubba Ray does this weird I'm excited dance that a toddler does. And he's like, oh, you got me all excited. Oh, man, you got those juices flowing. And then he says, but I can't. I just can't do it. I would hate it if I were to take the spot of a young wrestler in this company. I can't do that to that young hypothetical wrestler. So
at
I'm going to have to say
no.
At
ECW Tuesday night or Wednesday like, night even.
The title shot, bro. The actual complaint that people like me have with, let's just bring in a legend to do a one-off. The actual true sincere complaint is that spot should go to a younger wrestler. And the one time they acknowledge it and have the old legend say, no, I couldn't take that spot from a wrestler. They're doing it with Bubba Ray, which is, I feel like some kind of a thinly veiled shot at the people who say, don't bring in legends, use younger people. Is having him acknowledge it in the way he did so obviously insincerely. Kind of to me was like, screw you people. We're doing legends. That's what we do here. And I was like, God.
Well, I also felt like it's not true.
No, it's not true at
all. For that, no. I don't want Goldberg going after Gunther. Of course, right. Bubba Ray Dudley's going to be on an ECW show.
I know.
Like, it's not like, oh, they're stealing. You know, Kalani Jordan has such a fondness for ECW. Yeah. Like, no. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not what people mean by that.
Yeah. The other thing that he says in this promo, earlier in the promo, he's like, I couldn't help but notice that when you were getting beaten down by Ridge Holland and Ethan Page, nobody came to your aid. Nobody came to help out Trick Williams. And you know why that is, right? And he is saying all of this as though it is profound, and no one has ever had the thought before, much less espouse it on a wrestling program several hundred thousand times over the past 5 decades. When you are the champion, that means there's a target on your back.
What?
And Trick Williams looks down at the belt like, I've never thought of that before. So everybody in the ring was dumb, and nobody was dumber than all the people in the audience who were like, wow, he's right. And I'm like, come on. Come on. He's saying like there's a target on your back as though it's some kind of profound. I took off the nose in anger and threw it down, and it bounced over here on my desk. I could put it back on anytime I like. What are we doing here? Oh, wow. Like, come on.
I'm pretty sure Trick has said that in promos before.
He has. Now I'm the champ. I have a target on my back. He said that himself.
So, as pretty much every champion does, either directly with that metaphor or something else. So, yeah, that was silly. And here's the obstacle, I feel like, with Trick. We never had, because his first reign, they didn't give him a reign. Mm-hmm. We never had, like, that. I was like, I got your nose. But no, right off.
I've got my nose.
You do. You've got two noses.
I know.
We never got like that mission statement kind of thing from him.
Yeah.
And this was also not it. They really got to get Trick into the next gear with their booking, because it can't be Joe Coffey and Ethan Page again. Like, this needs to be productive for him, because he has beyond earned it.
This is also true that, like, when Trick was champion the first time, Javon Evans came out and kept helping him out over and over again. Did he not have a target on his back then? Or was Javon Evans just not...
No, he had a bullseye on his back. It's completely different.
Okay, I get it now. Luis saying, this guy Bully Ray was trying to angle for a title match, like Bully versus Alexander in 2022. This was exactly the promo he cut on Josh Alexander, the Impact after Bound for Glory 2022, word for word, LOL.
Oh, brother.
So he says, I can't do it. I have to leave. I cannot be your tag partner at the ECW arena next week. And like the fact that like I can't take the young person's spot, and RVD is like, hey, can I be on the show? Like, just makes RVD look like such a son of a bitch by comparison, which is very funny. And also, you know that by the end of the night, he will have changed his mind.
Of course. So,
you know what I mean?
Why do we have 5 Bubba Ray segments over the past 2 shows of NXT? Like, this could have been a one and done segment setup.
Oh, yeah. There was no reason we had to hear 2 full promos by Bubba Ray Dudley tonight. None.
And I also, like, I'm very transparent with you guys.
Yeah.
I'll be so transparent, I'll even remove the net.
Wow. That's pretty transparent.
I started watching in 2009. So I don't have, you don't have attachments to, I don't go back and watch a lot of ECW. Mm-hmm. It's not my style. I really didn't care that much about the Dudleys. I thought Devon was the cooler one, to be honest with the two of them. Well, anyway, of course. But like, my tag stuff is like DIY, FTR, like that kind of thing is more my thing. Mm-hmm. I understand it's an ECW show, so they're gonna do it there, but like, I was not excited about really any of the segments. Mm-hmm. And I definitely didn't need 5 of them, especially when one of them was I can't do that to the kid.
Yeah.
Get out of town.
And Jambeard says, you know, we should have all seen this coming with Bully Ray and Trick in an eventual NXT title match between the two when Trick had D-Von in his video.
Yep.
There you go. Yeah, you're right. So Sean Spears is talking to Beej. It's like, you notice I don't have a sling anymore. And Tony D is going to need a new challenger. Let's go talk to him. Get me a match. And Tony D is talking to Ange. He's like, I got some business to attend to, Don. Yeah, you do. Be careful out there. Always. And then she leaves. And Sam Spears walks up to Tony. He's like, hello, Tony. I would like... And then in walks Luca with a phone and says, a new voicemail. It's urgent. You got to hear this. And Tony D says, boys, if you give me some space here. Yeah, sure. All right. We'll be in touch, says Sean Spears. And Tony D's like plays the video, and it's apparently it's Nunzio. I couldn't recognize the voice, and they didn't say his name. So everyone was like, it's Nunzio, and so it's Nunzio. But he says, this is not how
you had to find out from my cousin or something specifically.
I had to find out from my cousin that you were coming to Philadelphia. This is not how family does business. I'll see you next Wednesday in Philadelphia. And Don's like, don't worry about him. I'll set him straight. So we're going to get Tony and Nunzio, I guess. Ryan Cicchini says, Nunzio phone call was a huge pop. Can't lie.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's something that feels less forced than like shoehorning someone in. That's like the perfect gimmick alignment kind of
thing. Sure.
Vic also did confirm it on commentary. Yes. And Austin with a great
Was that Nunzio in that voicemail book?
Yeah. Austin saying that Jensen is such a polite loose cannon, just like I will hunt you down anywhere and fight you, except but you're like right. If you politely ask.
Yeah. Feeling Dreepy says, nice Jericho costume, Alex. I suppose it could double as one.
You are the learning clown.
I'm a lot of things right now. I'm a lot of things. So I will say this. In 3 separate occasions during all of the women's matches on the show, in the middle of the match, they did a picture in picture showing men preparing for a match later. 3 for 3 on women's matches, showing men doing stuff that nobody needed to see. But they only did this in the women's matches for the men. They did not do it during the men's matches for the women. That just felt pointed for some reason. They didn't do it in the men's matches for the men. They did the women's matches for the women. We have to break into this women's match to show you men doing nothing because that's more important. That was the vibe I got out of this. And I thought that was odd.
Well, I agree with you that the disparity is not great, but I like them. It felt sportsy to me. Like it felt like what you see on a regular sports presentation. So I kind of liked that. Well, you don't usually break away to watch them do nothing. But no, like right. you often get that kind of like action or production. My thing with NXT tonight was it didn't feel, this is going to sound so weird, but I think you'll know what I mean. It didn't feel like a show. It felt like a collection of matches and a lot of stuff happening. But it didn't feel like a cohesive show tonight. And that might be because they were coming out of a pay-per-view and they have like all these moving parts with the women's division. The women's division is kicking the men's division's ass, by the way. That's like true. They've got to beef some stuff up on that side. Like I don't see a ton of contenders for Trick that are just going to be built up. I don't see a ton of contenders for Tony D that are going to be built up. So they really got to get
Sean Spears is going to have a feud with Tony D, where Tony D will have matches with Brooks Jensen, with the Beach. Beach will have matches with Stax and Luca. That's at least 6 months right there. So we're good all the way until Mania with Sean Spears and the Beach.
I was going to say that's one.
It's a long feud. Sean Spears and the Beach versus the Beach will absolutely get a title match. Sean Spears will get at least 2. Welcome to Tony D's title reign.
He needs to be the Italian American champion.
He does. So one of the ways they broke away from a women's match to show you was William Regal, who is now officially called Mr. Regal, because every time Booker T called him William Regal, Vic at first gently corrected him and then finally was like, his name is Mr. Regal, Book. Like he kept saying that. So his official title is Mr. Regal, not William Regal anymore. None of that. He doesn't have a first name. He's only Mr.
Sir.
Not Lord William Regal, not certainly not Stephen Regal. He is Mr. Regal. Mr. Regal giving advice to Alexis King backstage in preparation for the match. When the Slighty Throne came out, William Regal was sitting in the throne with Alexis King riding on the arm of the throne.
It looked fun.
The match with Charlie Dempsey was won with Charlie Dempsey in two straight falls,
yep,
which they do not often book in the Heritage Cup, but that does not tell at all the whole story of the match. The first fall was competitive with Alexis King doing some of his best stuff, but I think Charlie Dempsey really knows what the hell he's doing and was dragging him to a pretty good match so far. Then, I won't say shenanigans because nobody else got involved, but overbooking. I accidentally stepped wrong on the apron and now I've torn my ACL. The referee's going to pause the time that's running so I can be attended to by medical during the commercial. And then he's really hurt himself, Book. I'm surprised. What heart being displayed by Alexis King. What guts to continue this match. Any other man would have backed out because of the pain of the knee injury caused when he stepped wrong on the apron. But so they were laying it on so thick of how valiant the Alexis King was to continue fighting when a lesser man would have said, no, I can't go any longer. Alexis King, not our Alexis King. And it just was so thick, the smearing of that through the whole thing, that then it came down to near the end where he could barely stand, and Mr. Regal tried to pass him some brass knucks, and Alexis King says, no, pass them back to William Regal, Mr. Regal. And he said, he screamed, I am not my father, in the most overdramatic BS way possible. And then he turned right around and got pinned. Yeah. Like, the unjustified, completely unasked for babyface pivot for Alexis King, the douchiest character a wrestler has ever played, to be now, oh my God, the heart he showed in this match, and he refused to cheat because he's not his father, god damn it. Like, it's just so badly written, so obviously like produced and shoved at us when nobody wants it, and to drag William Regal, Mr. Regal, into it like this just feels really tawdry, and I hate it.
Shout out to William Regal for hating his own son but loving Wheeler Yuta. That's just funny.
They don't acknowledge that Charlie Dempsey is William Regal's, Mr. Regal's son. They don't acknowledge it ever. It is not NXT canon that they are related. I thought he was going to attack, turn on Alexis King, and then announce, this is my son, and I support him, and now I am the person in charge of the No Quarter Catch crew. Everyone here reports to me, but my son is the champion. Like, that to me seemed like an easy layup. And also, it allows also for like them. Alexis King to be like, oh, well, the guy that I trusted as my mentor turned on me. This builds sympathy for my baby face push nobody asked for. But they didn't even do that.
If you look at William Regal, Mr. Regal, Lord Steven, whatever you want to call him, and you look at Charlie Dempsey, it's pretty obvious he's his kid too. Like, they look a lot alike in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So what I actually liked is, I kind of like Alexis King losing in two falls, and not just because I don't love the character of Alexis King. We just don't get that a lot. We have not seen a no interference, dominant Heritage Cup defense. We haven't. So at least they did something different. Noam Dar needs to come back and he needs to win it. But I appreciate that they're trying to do it through matches. Like, that they're trying to tell us who a wrestling character is via how he behaves in matches. We don't get enough of that. But, like, this guy and the dramatic, I am not my father plea, a little much. A little
it
might much.
Be a, and, it's just a bit much.
And he know? Also just like, okay, now you have to then like, I'm not even normally someone that's like, if you have this color hair, you have to be whatever. They'll tell us that if you have black lipstick, you
right,
have to
right,
be
right, right,
but
right.
like Lessis King needs to change his entire presentation if he's going to be a face. Like he was the heeliest looking heel in the heel world.
They specifically didn't have him eyebrow pencil in his beard today. Like it was the color of his actual facial hair. Normally it's like blacked up to like make yes. like, you know, and they didn't have that today. It was still in the shape of the shitty beard, but like it wasn't like defined with makeup to make it stand out the way he normally does. Like it looks like it's painted on with shoe polish. They didn't do that this time. So I was like, that's, they're softening him for
right
a baby
direction.
Face.
Yeah.
But like, I am so sick of everyone has to spend time as baby face and also as heel before we can assess them. Like, not with this guy. And if you're going to do that, then make it organic.
Do the work. Yeah.
Do the work. Don't be like, he's a baby face now because he doesn't want to cheat. Also, he doesn't want to be his dad. Like,
I get it more for guys like Bron Breakker, who I was like, that guy's close to the top of the roster.
Sure. For certain people, I and also they to me, they did the work by having
yes.
a specific moment where this thing happened to me and my reaction to it is to change my persona. None of that happened to him.
No.
He was feuding with Eddie Thorpe over beep boop music. And 2 weeks later, he was like, I am not my father. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, nobody was saying you were your dad, dude. Like, nobody. But here's the thing, Alex. At the end of the day, he didn't get the assistance he needed to last as long as he needed in that match.
No, someone needed to help him last longer.
It's true. And he didn't get the help. And he was made to look like a fool.
Right. No, you don't want to look like a fool because you can't last long enough.
Exactly. And suffice it to say, look at us. We are not going to steer you in the wrong direction of anything.
No, we would never do that. Hold on. No, I, in particular, would never give you false information.
No, and neither would Sean Ross Sapp. So we're going to let him tell you all about how you can last longer with the appropriate help.
Blue Chew, main event performance, main event confidence, and a main event deal. Go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL, and you will get Blue Chew with their first shipment for free. Shipment? Yeah, I said shipment. No waiting in line at the pharmacy, no awkward doctor's visits. You take their online exam, and then if approved, it ships straight to your door. That's right. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and much more affordable. How can you pass up on this? How can you pass up on that confidence? How can you pass up on that performance? How can you pass up on making your sex life better? That's what Blue Chew is here to do. You don't have to have a problem to use Blue Chew. Just get that additional performance. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
That one felt good, to be honest. That was one of my better segues in the past couple weeks.
It's pretty good. I mean, I helped, but yeah, it was pretty good.
You should.
I know. And this time I did.
You say that you were like my segue was compromised in some way. I know you hate friendship, but this is a bridge too far.
I'm just saying your segue was a 9 out of 10 and I pushed it over, so now it's a 12. Like,
can you believe this clown?
Luis says, tells us helpfully that the last time there was a clean sweep in a Heritage Cup match, it was Von Wagner losing to Noam Dar. So here's hoping that Lexus King lasts longer than Noam Dar as a wrestler. No, sorry, lasts longer than Von Wagner as a wrestler.
That one went the way it was supposed to. Von Wagner should lose clean to Noam Dar.
I get you. Yeah. Meet Norma says, if NXT comes with a mid-card Florida man title, then give that some bitch to Lexus King. Julia Hart is easily the best part of the
Florida Man title. It's such a good idea, though.
And then he says Julia Hart was the best part of the Varsity Blondes. So far, she has had the most auspicious career since their breakup.
That's why I very intentionally cosplayed as her today.
Yeah. So Zelta. We're going to now call her Zelta. I'm assuming eventually, maybe even closer, sooner than anyone else, I'm going to resort to calling her by the name they tell me I have to call her. But for now, I want to call her Delta. I want to do it. Zelta is the compromise between Delta and Zarya. Zelta had her first match against Brinley Reese, and they did a hyper extended double jointed elbow spot. And it was good, but she can't bend her elbow as far as Alexa Bliss does. Alexa Bliss is the queen of the double jointed elbow hyperextension spot. And I feel like if you can't do it like 90% of the way that gets there, then it's not quite as great. Although great sell job by Brinley.
Yes.
The thing I love the most about it is her being like, I don't know if I can continue. And then Zelta coming over and being like, yes, you can. And she popped it back into place for her.
So good.
Yeah, that was great. I thought this was Brinley did a great job being what she needed to be. She was throwing big bombs at her, but it didn't really rock her, but not nearly enough. Spear and an F5 feels like they've decided, well, we're going to give you the power moves of, our greatest beasts that we have on the men's side. So here you go. You can have both of these. This is what you're going to do with these. And she wins. And obviously she wins. She looks amazing. And I'm watching this going like, okay, so next week, no later than next week, I need her to beat Fallon Henley for that title. And then have somebody come down, a baby face, maybe Kalani, to congratulate her on her victory and have her destroy that baby face. And then other baby faces come out to help that baby face. She destroys all of them. And she doesn't care. She's not your friend. She's not here to make friends, quote unquote. She is here to dominate. She's here to destroy everybody. And instead, they put her in a baby-faced 10-woman tag team. And it's not what I want from my Zelta.
So the presentation rules, the match I thought was the perfect establishing match for someone like this.
Yep.
She looked very sure-footed, too, like Zelta. Mm-hmm. Or Dear Zelta. Dear Zelta looked mm-hmm. just like... was not scared of the moment at all. Like, she mm-hmm. just went in there and killed it. Brinley Reese, if I hadn't seen Alexa Bliss do that spot, I would have been like, so, oh my gosh. But we have the ultimate comparison. Right. But I loved the popping it back in thing. I thought that was a nice twist on that. And I get where you're coming from. I don't hate this for a few reasons. One... I think the crowd is just going to be behind her. So save the heel turn for when she actually wins the title. Two, I selfishly want Fallon Henley to not have like a compensatory 2-week reign.
Sorry, too bad. Anybody who's in this spot is just keeping time till Zelta gets the belt.
But if she can have a few respectful...
I'm saying with Zelta, when Zelta's just waiting to get the Belta, that's all I got to say about that Zelta Belta.
Zelta Belta. It's so good. That sounds very John Sterling-y, as the Yankees have gone up 10-4.
Oh, hell, look at that. Oh, great. Staved
they
off
they
the sweep.
They had an offense.
Wonderful.
But... I like what we got, because I'm assuming you don't set this up unless you're doing a Survivor Series or a War Games match. Like, I know they haven't done
They don't do War Games in NXT. They haven't in years. That's a main roster thing now. They have stated that's a main roster. They may go back on it, I suppose.
It's a new era.
I mean, yeah.
Regal is around now to
well,
say
he'll
the
just
thing.
Show up. He'll show up on I mean... I don't know. They haven't announced anything for that weekend for NXT. Like, they have it on Deadline. Deadline's their next pape.
Yes.
Deadline is they don't have room to do it at the PC, because you got to have two rings involved. So like, you don't have room to do it there. They
have
to take
to
it on the road.
Somewhere.
They travel somewhere, which they could do. They've been traveling places, but their next pape is Deadline, and that's got the Iron Survivor in it. So, like, unless they say, oh, all these NXT women are coming to the main roster for Survivor Series to do a women's War Games match.
No.
It feels like that's probably not
they'll the way. They'll just hotshot it and do it for the ECW thing next week.
Yeah, that's what they'll do. Yeah.
But all of the alliances made sense if you want to run down the what happened after.
So, Tom LaValle says Delta, Zarya, Zelta. No, he says Zoltan. And I don't know. I like Zelta. And Jambeard says the Legend of Zelta.
Very nice.
And also the Mask of Daria. I don't know exactly. But, okay, so Zelda has won her match, and out walks down the little stairs in the corner Fallon and JC Jane and Jasmine Nix with all the extra consonants. And they're like, we don't, so you're here and you're new. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I'm the new champion. We're the new champion. Nobody cares. They're gonna come kick your butt. And I'm like, great, try it. I was like, three of you? That's not nearly enough to try and take on Zelta. I was like, this would be great. You'll come to the ring, you'll pick a fight with her, and she'll destroy all three of you and then hold her belt up. And then they'll make the match for next week, and she'll beat Fallon, and Zelta will be the new queen of all wrestling. Then out walk Roxanne and Cora, and they're like, we don't like you either because we're bad girls and we don't like new people coming into our school. And there
was the champ and champ relationship, which I thought was nice. Like, Roxanne has the women's world title, and Fallon has, she was kind of like, hey champ, what's up? Like, I like
right, that. Right. But shouldn't Cora Jade be like, I want that?
Yeah, that
shouldn't Cora Jade want that? Like, I'm so, listen, this is what I hate about all of this. I'm a heel, you're a heel, we're friends, screw that. Like, Cora and Roxanne should not automatically like Fallon and JC and Jasmine Nix. Why do they like them? Because they're all bad girls? That's dumb.
No,
give me a reason for them to like each other.
I think they could have clarified this, but it's like new person shows up in the world title picture, new person shows up in Fallon Henley's title picture now, right? Like, it's...
Right.
If... It's like the having your cake and eating it too thing. Like, I've been saying if Fatal Influence is going to have, they never had the proper unit to go up against, right? And yeah. So this kind of allows for that. And if instead of it being like a veterans versus new school thing, right, it could be like a not old time, I guess kind of old timers, like have been here for a while versus have been here for less than a month kind of thing or whatever.
Right.
Like that, yeah. That I feel like is a good common thread, but they probably should have clarified it out loud.
Yeah.
Also, this is so nitpicky, but that's what we do here. Roxanne is so great at so many things, and her promos have come a long way, but her vocal register needs to like command authority when she's talking her heel shit. Like the little girly airy voice thing, I'm not intimidated by you, and you're already very small as a human.
Yeah.
Like, I need like some balls in her voice.
Right. So what I'm looking at on the outside is five women, with the exception of Roxanne. So four women who would stand zero chance if all four of them teamed up against Delta in a 4-on-1 handicap match. That's what I was looking at. And then Kalani Jordan runs out and says, I am your friend because I am a good person. Who the hell? Why is she Zelta's friend? Because I'm a good person? Because
she's on the other side of Fallon Henley, who she just lost her title to.
Okay, so I don't like her, but so I'm backing you up.
Yeah, and also I would choose her. I would choose Delta.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to back her up at all. You don't have to back her up at all. Like that's, you don't have to back her up at all. So she comes out, 5-on-2, we like our odds. And then outrun Stephanie and Julia. And they don't like Roxanne and Cora, and I get it. And then they're like, 5-on-4, we're still coming. Like, no, you're not. No, three of those four women would eat all of you for breakfast.
And then who comes?
And then, like, we're still coming. And then Jordan Grace runs out. I'm like, okay, Jordan Grace, everyone assumes that when her contract is up, she's going right to WWE. Almost certainly true.
She just lost her title at Bound for Glory. Right. Yeah, like the hand.
When she finally does, she should not spend one single solitary second in NXT. She should be on the main roster the first day.
She should
the first.
She should be
day.
On the main roster in the Rumble and be in the final four, if not winning.
Yes, that is what she should do. So this is not her showing up and being like, "I'm in NXT now." This is up being like, "Hey, the partnership is still going on." So now you've created a 5-on-5 little fight thing that obviously leads to a 5-on-5 tag team, which they announce a 10-woman tag next week for the ECW arena. Okay, where the enemy of my enemy is my friend, which is a thing I've always, always, always hated in wrestling. Give them a reason to be friends, not just, I don't like you.
They all hate the other people on the other side, though. Jordynne Grace has a problem with Roxanne. Kalani has a problem with Fallon. Zelta has a problem with Fallon. Right?
No, Zelta doesn't have a problem with any of these people. Like, Fallon just walked up to
Well, she started picking a fight with them, I guess.
I guess.
But, like, Kalani just lost her title. Like, I'm into that. I'm fine
with
that.
What I'm looking at here is a group of five women where the good girls, the faces, minus Kalani, are these four women cannot possibly be stopped.
Right, but on
the other side, you're showing me Roxanne Perez and some people who have been basically losers. And so, to me, you're saying, again, you know why it still sticks in my craw? Because of all the dream match BS we had to endure during Halloween Havoc in that tag team match. It turned out to be really good, but you cannot tell me it's a dream match when all I've seen is Cora Jade injure herself and smash a skateboard in midair. Like, it's not... Like, we haven't done anything with that. And so you cannot tell me there's a dream 10-woman tag match when one of them is Jasmine Nix. You can't do that. She hasn't done enough yet to be on that site. If you had figured out a way for two of these four new women to come in as bad girls, as heels, then you would have an even distribution. But right now it's like, why would they just say, Kalani, you sit outside. The four of us are going to tag ourselves in, and then we are going to destroy those five women over there while Roxanne sits outside and does not want a part of any of us. Because that is what you have been booking them to be for the part of a year, and how all these women have been treated as they've come in as being impossible to even attempt to get anything over on.
I wonder if Zelta turns in this match. Oh, that's very possible.
Oh, actually. I would love that. Please, please.
That would be kind of cool, because then you're also setting up her versus so many of those people, right? Like, I want to see her versus all of them.
Yeah.
I do appreciate this is just a little tricky, because I do appreciate that both women's titles are on the other side of the physically opposing people, but, like, you got to have one tackler on the other side, because literally they're just all of them are just tiny, physically tiny women, yes, like, for the most part. Like, or to your point, chicken shit heels that have been eating a ton of L's. So that's a little bit tough of, like, if just Delta was on that side or whatever, I'd be like, okay, it's a little more viable. But I'm with you.
We get. So what, from Ryan Cicchini says, all I want is Bianca to call out the new supergroup for being the best women's division, quote unquote, and then challenge them with Io, Jade, Rhea, and Kairi at Survivor Series. I mean, I just want them to not tell lies about how they're, like, you know, like, you can, you we're the most top heavy women's division in the world. And I will agree with you on that. Because the thing I'm also mad about is you have some of your very best women who are not involved in this 10-woman dream match.
Correct.
Jada and Lola should be involved in that, but they have their own match where they're fighting each other next week.
Sol Ruka.
Where the hell is Sol Ruka?
Yeah.
You can't be doing this if Sol Ruka's not a part of it. She's absolutely one of the best you've got on that roster. And she's not even on TV. Maybe she's injured. I don't know. But, like, it's so weird to me that you're deciding, let's. I think she's got a ton of potential. She ain't there yet. Jasmine Nix doesn't belong in this match.
She doesn't belong in that stable, which is the problem.
She's in this, but, like, I don't know.
It's really fun when you do that with your wig on.
Where, like, but they should be pushing Kendall Gray and making her into somebody who belongs in this thing. Because we've seen that she can be doing it, but she's not.
I'll say this, Alex. Jordynne Grace lost her title. Tomasha Slamovich. She was a negative 1,000 favorite on Bet Online betting. And Masha Slamovich was a plus 600, which means if you put $25 down, you walked away with $175.
Yeah.
You want to talk underdog picks? We could tell you all about Bet Online.
I want to talk to you guys about our great partner at Bet Online AG. Yes, the place that lets you bet on pro wrestling. We've gotten our pro wrestling betting odds from them for years, well before we even worked with them. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about them. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payout, the industry best bonuses. They've been trusted for 25 plus years because of their safe and secure environment and their quick payouts. But you can bet on pro wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know more than anybody, go ahead and look at those odds. It's the same ones you've seen on Fightful for years. You might see one that sticks out to you and you go, wait a second, there's no way that person's going to win. Why are they an underdog? Make yourself some money. BetOnline AG. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Whatever sports you want, they got you covered. Popular games like blackjack and roulette, Supernova, Skyward, all that stuff. BetOnline AG. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can at BetOnline AG.
I have lifted the veil because it looks like my Yankees may win this game. But these are staying because Aaron Boone is still an idiot. So.
But it's raining in the Bronx, isn't it? They call the game? No?
Did they?
I don't know. There's people in the chat saying it's raining in the Bronx. Sophie says, once again, with the exception of the tag match, the women ruled this episode. They should book that 5 vs. 5 Survivor Series. Man, I'm sorry. I'm morally opposed to that. You've got your own plez. Do your stuff on the plez. I don't like, unless they've said Jade and, not Jade, sorry, I keep doing that. Lash and Jakara are on the main roster. They have been called up. Then they shouldn't be a part of this Fatal 4-Way either.
I'm more okay with talent floating with a belt. Like, that bothers me a little bit less. But right. I agree with you. Like, NXT just kicked off on the CW network, right? They got 20 million for that. And with the ratings they're pulling, like, no, they're going to want to do stuff on their own PLEs and on their own programming. You're not wrong about the women kicking the men's butts on this, though.
No, that's true.
There's a lot of positive movement there and not enough contenders being built on the men's side at all.
Mrs. My Thing. Also, I forgot because I didn't want to remember the Ashante the Adonis storyline that Sol wrestled against Carmen last week, and Carmen lost because Ashante the Adonis took another girl out of the audience to go make time with her. And Sol is doing that's what you've got Sol Ruka doing while you're building a dream 10-woman tag. Sol Ruka is the other girl in a program with Carmen Petrovich about whether or not Ashante the Adonis likes her enough.
And she feels like a no-brainer to be the next mid-card champion, probably after Delta, so you probably want her on that picture, right?
I mean, I guess. I mean, what the thing when Zelta wins that Belta, she's not giving it up for 10 months. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's tough, too, because I can't imagine Steph will drop quickly either, assuming that she beats Roxanne. And
assuming that she beats Roxanne. So, Jordynne Grace is back. There's a very poorly written, and therefore, not because they can't do this, but I believe if you told them to say their own thing, than they would. However, it was so poorly written with all the baby faces backstage, and they're like, hey, next week, just make sure that you leave Roxanne to me. Oh, also, I am not done with Cora Jade, so I will have her. You just point Fatal Influence my way. I'll take them out. No, but you just leave Fallon to me. Okay, that's right. And it was just, I don't know, man. Like that.
The
that,
women are not allowed to talk like people. It's so.
No,
weird.
They're just not, and it's just unfortunate because, okay, fine. And then Rhea Ripley is there for no good reason. And she's like, hi, I heard about this amazing 10-woman tag, and I just had to fly here. Does she live in Orlando? A lot of them do, but I don't know. It was just a very odd thing of like, I heard about this amazing group, and I just had to come down and check it out. They were formed 12 minutes ago. Did you leave around the block? Like, it was just weird.
That was just for the Zelta connection.
It was just for the Zelta connection.
Yeah.
It was fine. I get it. Later, where we see Eddie Thorpe get like half a syllable out to talk to Ava about why he's not being booked for anything, I'm assuming. There's commotion, and all the refs run to the parking lot right past Raquel and Liv with baseball bats, walking through the parking lot, and then at a car is Rhea Ripley, having been beaten up with baseball bats by Raquel and Liv. And I did not realize that there was a layover on a flight to Saudi Arabia in Orlando, but I guess that's what Liv was doing.
It would seem that's the case. These are all just cameos to try and keep ratings high.
Yeah, I know, but it, which is, you know, and I'm cynical about all that, and I think it's dumb. So
you're not wrong in that it's stupid. But I will say it's at least consistent. Normally, they're really bad with consistency across storylines, so at least these are just little, like, continuations of things.
So, Ryan Cicchini says, that's a quick Thorpe appearance. We need a real push.
Like, that dude needs a...
There's zero reason why he did not defeat Lexus King in the Battle of the Beep Boops. Like, why... Why the hell?
It's the Battle of the Beep Boops. That needs to be... You want to talk signature matches. Yeah. That's a signature match.
Beeps, boops, next. So that's... I guess that's too bad for Rhea Ripley. She's been knocked out of contention. She can't do any... Like, she... I wonder if she'll appear on the Raw that's being recorded on Sunday in Saudi Arabia. Or like this is a write her off for a little while so TF lives some more breathing room. So Liv doesn't have to face anybody for that title.
Yeah.
No, exactly. So she doesn't have to because she doesn't have to face anybody because they haven't built anybody on Raw for her to face, and she's gonna have that match with Nia, and there's a chance that Tiffany cashes in on Liv, I guess.
Guess.
I don't know.
That is certainly a course of direction they could take. Hey, the Yankees won a game.
That's good for them. Gentlemen sweep. Good for them. Kalani has all I want is a one-on-one rematch with Fallon for my title. That's all I want. Ava, please give it to me. It's like, well, you know, The spin the wheel, make a deal did land on Spinner's Choice. So they did what they, and you lost. So, you know, there was enough shenanigans in there to kill a horse, but, you know, you still lost. So,
how many shenanigans does it take to kill a horse? And that inherently seems like a Fallon Henley advantage as she is a horse girl.
Right there, which is unfortunate. But then Nikita's like, sorry, you're not the only one who wants that title back at the line. And then Kalani and Nikita have a match. About, I guess, disrespect or something. And Kalani and Nikita do a thing where they both do the splits. And like, we'll let social media take care of this, huh? But, and so...
Well, and also, Alex, we're back to gymnastics.
Gymnastics. And also, nunchucks in a pirate costume? Like... I don't know how it was this very specific red, white, and blue pirate costume. Like she's patriotic pirate is what Nikita dressed up as. And then she did some nunchucks moves, I guess. She lost to a split-legged moonsault. And thankfully, I guess, they didn't have Big Ange cause shenanigans during the match. They just had her run in and beat the hell out of Nikita after the match. And then Kalani is the goodest of goody two shoes. She picks up Big Ange off of her and is like, what's going on? What's going on? Stop that. Please give me all of your reasons for beating her up before I allow you to do so. And Big Angie is like, she's the one who attacked me last week. Oh, well, then go ahead, by all means. Like, there was no reason for her to pull it off. Like, just, this is, none of this is.
She's a little bit too Cody Rhodes. Like, all the things that annoy me about Cody, those are her character attributes.
Yeah. Lupangi Vice talking about pirates don't use nunchucks. I agree. Pirates don't use nunchucks. It's very uncommon to see pirates use nunchucks. So
also, since your name is like the Lupangi Vice name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was Rocky Romero's birthday yesterday or the day before. Very recently. So happy birthday, Rocky Romero.
Ethan Page came out to cut a promo, and he was immediately interrupted by Ridge Holland, who proceeded to say, like, you had your shots. Now I want Trick Williams. And I also just going to go ahead and say, just apropos of nothing, I don't like Bubba Ray Dudley. And then Bubba Ray Dudley comes out because, you know, he heard his name. And so he's
say
like,
his name.
He appears. I don't believe in Bubba Ray. I wish he would just go away. But he's here.
To London or Paris or Tokyo.
That'd be nice.
He's, I can be a supportive teammate too. It's not all you and your supporting of my segues.
I know.
He heard his name and he doesn't care about young talent on the roster having a spot anymore. That's what happened.
No, he doesn't. No. So he could, but immediately threw that. He's not here to challenge him to a thing until Ridge says, I have respect for you, but no, I don't, is basically what he says to Ridge. He never even addresses Ethan Page, as far as I can tell. So I forget who throws the first punch, but it was obvious it was going to devolve into like them hitting each other. But then Ethan Page attacks Bubba Ray Dudley, I guess for ignoring him. And then the two of them are beating him down. And then Trick Williams comes to make the save. And then it's obvious the thing that we all thought was going to happen is happening. So it's just that. There was a lot of time to get to a thing they could have announced at the end of the tape on Sunday.
Six segments. At least seven?
Yeah, maybe.
And most of the complaints that I saw were like Bubba Ray standing tall in 2024 at the end of a PLE that didn't do much for your advancing talent. Wildly unnecessary. And like, is anyone like, okay, Bubba Ray's coming out of retirement last week, but also again this week apparently. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's like, Ridge Holland is the guy I want to see him. Like, it's even just so weird that he's not facing a tag team guy. Like, it's weird that he's tagging with someone else. I don't like any of this. I don't like any of this at all.
No. So they announced the tag match that we're going to have at the 2300 Arena next week. Almost certainly it's going to be ended with Bubba Ray and Trick doing a 3D on Ethan Page. And pinning him to protect Ridge and Ridge's feud with Trick Williams. That's a thing. And then we got our NXT Tag Team Championship match, which was friggin' brilliant and so awesome to watch. Until the finish, which was utter dog shit, and I hated it. And it negated all my love for the rest of the match because I have a sickness. And if the finish to a match is terrible, then I don't care how good the rest of the match is. I hate it. And because I feel cheated for having watched it and liked it.
That's fair. It doesn't do the same for me, but I can understand why it would do that for you. Because like,
we know that like Wes and Javon have some kind of like latent beef, right? Like, from last week, Wes Lee was like getting in a few shots at Javon, and Javon seemed like he wanted to fight Wes Lee, but Wes Lee was content to be like, whatever, and walk away. So between that and tonight, what was the catalyst for him to walk out to the ring in the middle of the match brandishing a chair? What did Javon Evans do? And if he did anything, why didn't we see it? Because we were not shown Like, if you missed last week and were just watching this week, you would have zero idea why Wesley walks out to the ring with a chair. There's been nothing on the show tonight to indicate why that would happen. So you just say shenanigans for shenanigans' sake, so that Javon Evans will get out of the ring, fight Wesley all the way back, leaving Cedric Alexander alone in the ring to fight off two guys and eventually take the pin to a double team move because Javon thinks it's more important to fight Wesley. Come on!
Everybody looks unjustified or stupid in that, for sure. Rest of the match was great. Fraxium's unreal. Like, this has been one of the more fun tag reigns that we've gotten in a very, very, very long time. The stories haven't necessarily been the strongest, but, like, just from an in-ring perspective, these guys always blow me away. Them not being on the PLE was inexcusable. Well, like, I mean,
if you were going to end it for like this, then please don't put it on the PLE.
Sure, but, like, I said this after Halloween Havoc, so if you're watching that, I apologize that this is redundant. NXT, I don't think, can get away with doing 5-match cards the same way that the WWE main roster can for PLEs, because there's just genuinely, like, not the star power and production factor that WWE main roster PLEs are going to get. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. They should have had 7. And this should have been one of them. And that casket match, though I understand why it couldn't, also should have been one of them. That would have felt like a way more well-rounded pay-per-view. That PLE was 25 minutes longer than this episode. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Cedric Alexander, I don't think I've seen him look so good in years and years and years. Partly because we just haven't seen enough of him. But tonight was like a reminder.
He's got the best Michinoku driver in all of wrestling. Oh. And
incredible chemistry in there tonight.
And he and Javon, if they don't have plans to have Javon become a singles champion anytime in the next year, then these should be the two guys who beat Fraxium, who beat the Blurry Boys for those titles, and they should have a good reign with them. I love the idea of Cedric being the guy to be the mentor for him. That's a really cool thing. You can be like, you know, you're not ready to be after they lose their titles. There's not like an immediate breakup, but like Cedric is like, you are amazing, but you're young. And I know you hate hearing that, but a wrestler who's got more experience can still outsmart you, can still outwit you in the ring, because you do everything on you base everything on your athletic accomplishments. And those are many, but somebody can actually outsmart you. No, they can't. I could. I don't think you're ready to go for a thing until you can beat me. And he's totally outshined Cedric, but Cedric always figures out a way to beat him against his own game. And until Javon does, and he's like, now you're ready. I can't wait for you to come on and win. I mean, you could do a really cool, like, mentor trying to teach him some stuff. That could be really great. You could do that in a year because, listen, Javon Evans is amazing. He's going to be a multi-time champion. You shouldn't just, here's a title. Like, let's us see him develop from a 19-year-old kid who showed up and like, I'm bouncy, I guess, to being like the guy who is un-goddamn deniable for a title match. And he gets it and he wins because he's learned things along the way. So he's not just bouncy. So he's other stuff too.
I agree. And I think Cedric's a really good person to do that with.
Yeah.
I was very encouraged to see this match out of him. It's been a while. It's so funny because the Fraxium thing, it felt for sure like they were headed for a split and they never did it. And I'm so glad they didn't do it.
Not yet. They will.
They'll go to the main roster. Like they might. Yeah. But this was a fantastic main event. The interference spot was so ridiculous because of the reasons you said of it being unjustified, but like, while I understand that Javon Evans is 19.
Yeah.
I don't believe he's so young at this or so just stupid of a person that he abandons the match that he's currently in against tag team champions to go deal
with. If you had shown him that the two of them almost come to blows because of something that Wesley said to him under his breath as he and Cedric were walking to the ring for their match. And Cedric has to pull him away, being like, this is not the fight we're having right now. We got a match in 15 seconds for the damn tag team titles. Get your mind right, kid. He's like, yeah, you're right. But what he really wants to do is kick the ass of Wesley. If you do that,
like, this is justified.
Fresh in our minds, and Wesley can be stewing backstage. We absolutely believe when he comes out with a chair because he wants to kick Javon Evans' ass because they almost had a dust up 15 minutes prior, not 3 weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like, you can do it correctly, and they just didn't. And so that's why I did not like the finish, and I also hate what this is leading to, because I feel like this is leading to something that I'm really gonna hate. They're fighting backstage, and RVD comes in between them as they're being held back by all these officials, security guards, and he says, I figured out what I want to do next week at the ECW arena. And, like, I hope it's a triple threat. I'm worried it's another special guest referee.
No, that's got to be a triple threat.
I mean, I don't know.
I understand why you're worried.
The next step is for them to do two special guest referee matches on the same show, Kate.
But the thing with RVD is, like, one of the few people of that generation that can still go. Also, huge pop for him just wearing his. Was he in his tights, or was he just in a different airbrush?
He was just in an airbrushed tank top,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, it was just like airbrush gym clothes. I'm like, this guy just loves getting his clothes airbrushed. But that popped me huge. My guess is it'll be a triple threat, because RVD can still go, and he's someone that people will genuinely want to see in the ring. So that'll be fun. But and I want to see it, it's so frustrating because I want to see Javon Evans and Wesley have like a 4-month feud. I just want them to build it out. Right. So,
yeah. So Tim McFowell says thoughts and prayers to both Chris Bay and ELP, who is dealing with cancer, but is like, I'm not scared. I'm not worried. Everything's going to be okay. They caught it very early. And then he like makes sure to say in his message, pray for Chris Bay.
Yeah.
He's the guy who needs it. I'm fine. And so he's doing really good stuff.
And Vikingo also said, was stretchered out. He's okay too, but just a rough.
Yeah.
Maria Kanellis has all this stuff going
that's
on.
That's a terrible, that's a cursed tapings.
That is a curse.
It's a cursed tapings is what that is.
That's why when Wendy Chu was there, she put a curse on. It's not,
could be. Meet Norma says, wait, shenanigans on a WWE produced show? Who knew?
I mean, gosh, Raw had one match without them, which was more than last week, right? Like, they are just, when I complain about stale playbooks in both promotions, this is the one that is stale for WWE.
You said there was another note from Corey, R.E., the 10-woman tag. Was that specific to something?
Just that there was a ton of buzz backstage about it, that everyone's
because there was a thing about whether or not Lita might be involved in the ECW Arena show, and there was mention of it being a 10-woman tag, but they already have 5 women on both sides, so is somebody getting taken out?
FightfulSelect.com for that, but I'm sure, you know what they should do? They should have her be a special guest referee.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Haven't done one of those in God.
No, they definitely haven't. So, yeah. Ryan Cicchini brings it up, and this is a very long. If we start talking about this, we'll talk about it for far too long. So, just quickly, Ryan Cicchini says, don't need to get into all the WWE ID stuff, but I'd imagine NXT people will wrestle on the indies almost as a recruitment tool.
I'll just say there's a lot of people jumping to a lot of conclusions about something that hasn't properly launched yet. Mm-hmm. And that
I'm one of them. Yeah, it's me.
And they have a history both in WWE and UFC of this not going to good places. So I don't want to get into it, but it's very obvious.
Yeah.
And people are justified in their concerns. Mm-hmm. I will say this feels almost like an admission that maybe the Performance Center has been the most successful use of time and money. And I think it's a good sign whether this is the correct method or not, I think it's a good sign that they are opening back up to getting independent talent in, as opposed to we want to mold. We want all these people to dye their hair blonde and to take these D3 athletes and turn them into what we want them to turn into. Mm-hmm. There is an alley for NIL athletes. There is also a whole industry of people that have wanted to do this their whole life and have dedicated their time and their money and their their injuries and their time up and down the road. Like, people who really, really want this. And they should be considered for the future of every wrestling promotion in the world. So.
Insert Clever Tegan Knox pun. Says Trick or Tregan Knox. And then says,
are we keep full cool on doing puns now?
Keep cool, gabagools.
And with your spirit.
Jambeard says Wendy chewing gum.
Very nice.
Lieutenant Colonel Photo says jobbing for apples, which I really like a lot. That might be my favorite Halloween pun we've ever gotten.
That's so good.
Teletric Mayhem says spirit bomb Halloween.
Very good.
Jeff Macabre. Which I really like a lot as well. Yuka Spookizaka.
Fair enough. Very good.
Hocus Pocus. And Gulia Hart. Then, of course, Dia de los Bis Muertos.
Of course.
And Bam Bam Bigelichu.
I love Bigelichu as a baseball girl.
That's good.
I'm like, give me shredded gum that loses flavor in 4 seconds right now. Let's go.
So let's see here. Okay. Alan Jeanette, I don't think this is a jukebox, but I'll sing the thing that you found. He was talking about how when I was wearing my Roman Reigns outfit and I looked like Cher, and I was doing Dusty Rhodes singing a Cher song. He said Dusty Rhodes is sharing the love, but then Luis found something where he found a song by Cher called Love and Understanding.
Well, while you're doing that,
yeah,
I'll remind people that while we do fun voices on here, there's a professional out there, damn it, who's got your back if you need voiceover work. Matthew Hooks, long supporter of this show, supporter of the Fightful Awards, always showing love here. He has hooked in voiceovers.com. He has worked with national and international brands. His demos are on his website. You should definitely check them out. He does it all. He can do the recording process, the production process. He's here to make your brand sound better. So support Matthew Hooks. He's always so great to us. If you have voiceover needs, please, please, please contact him. But also, just go support him. Support him on social media. Show him some love. He's always here showing us love. Hooked in Voiceovers on social media. HookedInVoiceovers.com. Check out his website. It's great. You can get a little bit of background on why he does what he does as well. He's a great dude and a great supporter and a very, very talented fella. So we appreciate Matthew Hooks. Keep an eye out for his sponsorship on the Fightful Awards as well, which you can contact me about if you have an interest in sponsoring the Fightful Awards. $100 for a spot. Last year's got 35,000 views. We now have 500,000 followers on social media between Sean's account and the Fightful account. So you're going to reach a lot of people for that $100. You can request your categories. You can support the show overall. But we've had a lot of creators come on board. The amazing Jennifer Gray donated spots, which I still think is the coolest thing in the world to some creators who can't afford it. So contact me, Kate at Fightful.com.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right.
I will
lose
share now.
Well, hold on. What's this? This isn't me.
Oh, you're in full ghost mode.
Now, there we go. Hey. There I am. I don't know who that was. But hold on. Share love and understanding is what I'm supposed to say. here in this world. Where do we go? Where can we turn? When we need some love, it seems that love just can't be found. Where do we stand? When love supply don't mean love's demand. That is supply side economics there. But for love, I like that a lot. We got enough stars to light the sky at night, enough sun to make the whole world bright. We got more than enough, but there's one thing that just not enough of. Not enough love and understanding. We could use some love to ease these troubled times. Not enough love and understanding. Why, oh why? Baby daddy, if you will. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Then, hold on. We got Orion Ben, who says, thanks, SGS Society, Alex, Kate, and Luis for keeping me sane. He wants me, Dusty Rhodes, to sing the one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater, which I will do.
Yes? Oh, I was just going to say, I like that we're keeping people sane when we have a ghost of Dusty Rhodes on the show be looking yes. like this and Alex dressed as a clown. We are like a really sound source of sanity for sure.
Yes. Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and a one big eye. Ooh, I commenced to shaking and it said, ooh wee, it looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one horn, flying purple people eater. One-eyed, one horn, flying purple people eater. One high, one horn, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me. Ooh wee, sure looks strange to me. Well, he came down to earth and he's laid in a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so gruff, I wouldn't eat you because you're so tough. I am, though. I'm very tough. So it was tough. A one-eyed, one-horn, flying purple people eater. One-eyed, one-horn, flying purple people eater. One-eyed, one-horn, flying purple people eater, baby. And that sure looks strange to me, daddy, if you will. Thank you very much. Also here, now, Ryan Bennett asked for the Nya girl. I don't know exactly how to say it. Nya girl to sing "The House Always Wins" as Julia Hart sing.
I actually do know how to be the Nya girl because I know how to say Nya properly. Born from the pain inside my veins, bred for war, begging literally for more. None shall mourn. I'm literally so reborn. Live in sin, cause the house always wins. My heart grows harder. My heart grows harder. Darker and darker. I see the truth. My blood flows black with you. Born from pain. Inside my veins. Bred for war. Begging for more. None shall mourn. I'm reborn. Live in sin. The house always wins. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you to the Nya girl. But I gotta go back to the Red Beyond. Bye.
Hello. It's me. It's Ricky Rainbow. So,
Tom LaValle. We just had another guest that made me laugh.
Tom LaValle wants me to sing Camino by State Radio.
Ricky, hair has some extra volume today.
I went to me girl at the salon and she blew it out for me.
It looks nice. Great. You kind of look like a little bit of a chia pet, but I'm digging it.
Thank
it's
you.
Nice.
I'll take that as a compliment.
You should. You should.
State Radio, Camilo. Woke him up with a barrel to his head, his eyes shut tight, bracing for the blow, resigning his life to the metal held in another man's hand. 20 days in a concrete fallout, what a life have I to take your own? Oh, my country, you won't you call out, doorbells are bringing with boxes of bones. And from another land's war-torn corners, to a prison cell in my own. Punish me for not taking your orders, but don't lock me up for not leaving my... This is a very sad song.
It's a bummer.
Lots of dark image. This song is a bummer.
It is.
It feels like there should be more. Do we have not any have any songs? Can't I sing Ghostbusters or some other? Can I sing the Monster Mash? Like, if are there other things I could sing? That, I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. When my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
The Monster Mash.
It caught on in a flash.
Oh.
It was the Monster Mash. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
All right. Let's hope these ones aren't nearly as scary as the other one.
Let's hope
Electric Mayhem says, Ricky Rainbow sings, "Can't Sleep, The Clowns Will Eat Me" by Alice Cooper. Well, this doesn't sound like it's very promising on the more bright and happy front. Here we are. "Don't sing me lullabies. I won't close my eyes. I can't close my eyes. It's true. I'm doomed till dawn shines through. Got too many things to do. Got friends to see. I can't miss a thing. It's true. I'm through. I'm screwed. I'm glued. I won't close my eyes. I can't close my eyes. You never close my eyes, you see. They're always there with funny hair. Oh, I'm so scared. It happens to me every night. Can't sleep. The clowns will eat me. They always want to take a bite. Can't sleep. The clowns will eat me. And if you think this isn't real, I'll show you wounds that never heal. To them, I'm just a happy meal. Can't sleep. The clowns will eat me."
That's a bummer.
Thank you.
Sad.
Meet Norma says, "Can Ricky Rainbow sing The Ballad of the Witch's Road from Agatha All a Teddy Long? Player, player. Agatha All a Long. I've not seen this one yet.
I have not
this
either.
This is the new one on the Disney Plus. "Marching ever forward, neath the wooded shrine, I stray not from the path, I hold this hand in mine. Primal night giveth sight, familiar by thy side. If sun be gone, we carry on, spirit as our guide. Down, down, down the road, down the witch's road. Down the witch's road, down the witch's road. Down, 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 down the witch's road. Down the witch's road, down the witch's road. I'm going down, 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 down the witch's road. Down in the witch's road, do, do, do. Blood and tears and bone, maiden mother crone." Thank you.
That's beautiful.
That's it.
You're an angel, and you're extra hair oomph today. Many feet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right, well, this is the last show before All Hallows Eve.
It is.
So I hope everyone has a wonderful spooky next few days.
I hope so too.
And we'll see you next Wednesday.
Yes.
Hey, has that person Sean told you and Alex what's going on next Wednesday with the double show thing?
Or what's up with that? Sean guy has not, but I have inquired and I will get back to you, Ricky, and I'll probably let Alex know at some point.
All right. Well, you should let him know, Alex, I mean, since he's the person who's supposed to host the show, but there's two shows that he is normally involved with that both have shows on Wednesday.
I think we're trying to find out if they go head to head or we'll be staggered, because Sean will probably do a solo review, and then I'll have to ask Mansoor, but he's now with AEW, so it's going to be a whole thing.
That's a whole thing. I'm not sure. Right. Okay. Well, keep cool, Gubba Goose.
Happy Halloween.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.